Today, I want to bring a message I've entitled simply Strength Through Faith. Faith is another component or an element in the recipe of being strengthened spiritually. And we'll try to give you enough this morning to help you. Not that none of us, I think, have, how do I say this? I believe we all have faith or a measure of faith. But like the disciples said, Lord, teach us, or they said, Lord, increase our faith. One guy, I remember this statement where the man said to Jesus he needed something done for his child. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I think a lot of us are kind of like that today. Lord, I believe, but I also have lots of doubts and fears, and sometimes I'm unbelieving, and Lord, help my faith today. Well, let's begin to read in verse number 8, chapter 3. And it tells us here that he says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning and our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? That's a question, and the answer comes, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and we'll consider this scripture today. Our Father, we come now, and I know that we always want to take a moment and pause and ask for your help, because our minds are so easily distracted. We begin to let our minds drift onto all manner of things, and we don't focus our attention as we need to upon the message of your word. And so I pray for your help upon our hearts, that, Lord, we would focus in and truly rivet our attention upon you, because we need to hear from you, Lord. We need your help. We need grace to be able to strengthen our faith and to learn from the scriptures, Lord, things that will help our faith. And so would you please work in our heart, help us to do that. And if there is someone today in this room or listening that they need to come to faith in Christ, to place their faith in Jesus for salvation, Lord, we pray that they would do that today, that you would help them in that way. And so for all of these things, we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here that God had planned a rest for the children of Israel. It was something that he was planning for them. It was his will for them, we would say. It was something that God intended for them and prepared for them. But yet we read that they did not enjoy it. It never became a reality for many of them. Even though it was the will of God, it was God's prepared plan and direction for their lives, they died not having seen it come to pass. It was not a reality. And the reason for that is because of their unbelief. That's what we read here, if we break down what we've read already, is that they were kept from what God had intended for them because of unbelief. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that in this message, I think it's a simple message, but yet even in our own hearts, sometimes we miss things. We don't grab a hold of them. Because first of all, we have to pay attention to it, and then we have to believe and trust. So I want you to really stay with me, really keep your mind on the thought here, because I really believe it'll be a help to you today. These Israelites, and I'm not going to go into the whole story. This is an account from the Old Testament. He's recounting, I guess is the right way to say it. He's telling about these people and what happened. And you could read about it. We won't go there this morning for sake of time. But you could read about it in Numbers chapter 15, 16, I believe it is. And it's about the nation of Israel. You remember that they were slaves in Egypt. And for generations, they were forced to labor with, the Bible calls it this way, it says with rigor, rigorously. They were enslaved and forced to labor as servants and as slaves. And so in that condition, of course, they didn't know anything of rest. They didn't feel rest in slavery. I don't think a slave feels a sense of rest. And then God sent Moses and delivered them from Egypt. And then for a while, they were in the wilderness, wandering through the wilderness, kind of like refugees, you know, living in tents and just eating manna. And again, it was not a place that really we would consider restful. All the time they were in the wilderness, it was not really a rest, a place of rest. But God said, "Fear not, be of good courage, because I am going to bring you to a land where you will have rest. I'm bringing you to a promised land, a land that he's called this." He said it was filled with a land flowing with milk and honey. And he described it, and he said it's a land where it's already been inhabited, it's been cleared. It's not like a wilderness place where you have to go and clear the land and you know, scratch out the ground and try to plant some things. This ground's already been planted. It's already prepared. The houses are already built. The cities are already there. And it's for you. I've promised it to your father Abraham, and I'm going to bring you to that land, and I'm going to give you that land. And it'll be a place of rest. That was God's design. That was his desire for them. But they came up to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And at Kadesh Barnea, they were so near to the land, they had to stop. And there were inhabitants of the land. And God, in his purpose and plan, the inhabitants of the land were a pagan, ungodly, unholy people. And he was going to drive them out of that land. And they sent spies. I know you know this story, so we don't have to dwell on it very long. But they sent spies into the land, and 12 spies, and they came back, and they had seen the land. They saw grapes that were amazingly, you know, lush and big, and it just says that they had to carry them on a pole between two guys, a cluster of grapes. Some of you have grapes coming on, and I don't know if you, it takes two men and a boy to carry them, but these were obviously, this was a very fruitful land. But they came back and they said, "Wait a minute, there's a big problem here. We saw the sons of Anakim, which were giant people. They saw huge people. And they saw walled cities, hard defenses, and all of this." And they said, "We were like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way. We can't go in there. We wouldn't be able to overcome them. We would die. And then they complained and they said, would to God that we would just die in the wilderness. We'd rather die here than go in there and fight those people. Or would to God that we never left Egypt. We'd rather be back in slavery. And because of their evil heart of unbelief, God says, I had intended for you to have this land. But because you won't believe me, the land is not going to be, you're not going to see it. You're not going to inherit it. And so the generation died in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us this, all of those that were adults at the time, 20 years old and older, perished in the wilderness. That's why they were kind of, they left Egypt, they came there, they saw the land, but they wouldn't go in. They were left then to wander for 40 years. And for 40 years, that generation died off, and finally their children, that were young at the time, or born afterward, they did go in and find that rest that God had for them. But here's a whole generation of people that missed out. They did not seize what God had for them because of their unbelief. And that's where I want us to come to. It's, you know, the details of the story are not so much important for us today. I know you know that story. And I'm not trying to belittle the story or the details of it. It's great to study it. But where I want us to come today, and the writer of Hebrews comes straight to the point. He said they did not inherit the rest. They did not grasp, it wasn't made a reality, what God wanted for them because of their unbelief. Now, this is a principle that we find all through the Bible. We could look at many, many examples of this, but we won't have time to. But the fact is, friends, there are things that God has for us that we will only experience if we experience it by faith, because that's the only way you can have it. God has things for your life and for my life that He requires faith to receive. Do you understand that? It takes faith. Without faith, we'll never come into that which God has for us. He requires faith. Let me just give you another verse, and then we're going to move a little bit further. This is just another example, but there are many. In Matthew, you don't have to turn to it. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it just simply says this. It's talking about Jesus in his own home place of Nazareth in Galilee, and it says, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. Because of their unbelief, God, Jesus, who had been going throughout this whole region of the world and healing many and performing miracles, we know all about those. But in that town, they didn't get to experience that. They didn't get to receive that. And he says the express reason why is because of their unbelief. It's not that Jesus wouldn't have done it for them. He had no grudge against them. This was his hometown. But because it was his hometown, they said, well, yeah, who, you know, we know you. You grew up here. You might look like a big shot in other places, but, you know, you're just one of us. And so they didn't believe. And therefore they missed out. And I'm just saying this morning that there's a lot of things I think as Christians, and I think actually right here in this church, and I'm not saying this flippantly or lightly, or I'm not accusing anything. I'm just saying I believe there are things sometimes we have not grasped a hold of that God would want to bless us with because of unbelief. Because we just haven't had the faith, the trust to see it. Let me have you turn now to chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we'll spend the rest of our time here. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a whole chapter about faith. For sake of time, we'll just read a few of the verses. But beginning in verse 1, Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. That means he was raptured. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we're going to stop there, but we could read on through this chapter, and it's known as the chapter of faith, the great hall of faith, it's even been called. Because throughout this hall of faith, you find all of these portraits or people. You have Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. It goes on, Moses, and on and on and on. And it's interesting because we read about faith. We read about what they did and all these things. And sometimes I think we miss the main point, the main theme. What God is saying there is, all of these people are examples of people who God did something with their lives. God did something through their lives and with their lives and in their lives. And God did something in their life which was a great thing, but in every one of them it was all done the same way. He wants you to see how it was or by which way or by what means did these people accomplish this? How did they do it? Because how they did it is the same way we do it. And it tells us every time, by faith. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Noah did that. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did that. Every time it says the same thing. It's by faith. And they accomplished these things, listen, not because they were great people. We consider them great. We consider Abraham and Moses great people, right? But we consider them great because of what they did by faith. Now, think about the order of that. In other words, they did what they did not because they were great people. They were great people because they did what they did. Do you understand that statement? Because sometimes we think, well, you know, I could never be like Moses. I don't have what Moses had. I could never be like Noah. I don't have what Noah had. Well, do you have faith? That's all they had. That's all they needed. It wasn't their talent, it wasn't their education, their intellect, it wasn't their that they had some program or method that really got the job done. That's not what it was about. It wasn't because of anything that, you know, we could somehow do, you know, like everybody looks for a you know, 12-step program or something, no? If we could just do XYZ, then boom, this will be the result. And that's not it at all. God says it's not in a program. It's not a seminar that can come and teach you how to do this. How they did it was by faith. And if you have faith, God can do in your life what God wants to do. It's just by faith. And so the performance comes by faith. I was going to give you two words, performance and perception. I'll just throw them out there and then probably never mention them again. But something that God did through them. He initiated it. He wanted it for them. He did it through them. In every case, it was by faith. And that's the performance. I'm just saying, if we want to be strengthened, right? We want to be strong as a church. We want to do a strong work for God. How are we going to get it done? What do we need? Do we need more money? Do we need better methods? Do we need, whatever you want to name? Is that what we need? Do we need better PR? We need better promotions? What we need is we need faith. God can do whatever with our lives. He's not limited, but He does it when people respond to Him through faith. That's the simple message we find in the Bible. So we want to be strong in faith. And then I was thinking about the perception. God has purposes and plans to bless your life. I really believe that. God has purposes and plans to bless your life. And in a sense, stay with me, in a sense, they're invisible, those purposes and plans, until God reveals them to us, right? I mean, we don't see them. That's what we read, but we read here, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let me show you throughout this chapter just some things. In verse 1 again, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 3, down in the latter part of that verse, notice this phrase, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Jump down to verse number 23. We haven't read that far, but look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And then it tells us, if you read on, that Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people. In verse 27, notice this. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, now read this last phrase, as seeing him who is invisible. I heard a preacher say this one time. This was a lot of years ago. I was down in Utah at a conference, and an evangelist preached, and he was a good preacher, but I only remember one thing he said today. And he said this. He said, if you're going to live for the eternal, you have to see the invisible. And you think about that. It was profound enough. It struck I couldn't think of anything else. If you're going to live for the eternal, if your eyes are just on the temporal, that's what you're going to live for. If your eyes just look at, everything you can see, touch, and smell, that's all you're going to live for. That's all you're going to get. But if you can lift your eyes above with the eyes of faith, see some things that God has for you, God wants to show you, things that God wants to do. If you can just see the Lord by faith, you're going to get into a different realm. You know what I'm saying? Because God has things, and I think sometimes God gives us glimpses. You could call it, God gave me direction. God gave me a purpose. God gave me vision for this thing, right? We use those kind of terms. What does that mean? That just means that God touched my heart. He revealed something. He showed me what He wants to do in my life. He gives us those glimpses when we look by faith. And then it's up to us to act in faith to pursue that, to carry it out. God says, here's what I want to do with your life. Get your eyes off all that world stuff and see, this is the direction I want you to live. This is the things I want to do in your life. This is the way I would bless you. And by faith, we kind of get a glimpse of that. But then we have to follow through. God said, I want to lead Moses. Here's a land of rest I want to give to the children of Israel. And Moses went down to Egypt and he conveyed that to the people. He said, hey, all of you brethren, Israelites, listen, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's sent me here. He's put a vision in my heart that he wants me to lead us to a promised land, a land of milk and honey, a land of rest. And by faith, he went there and he told them that. And then they kind of caught that vision, if you will. They said, well, that's great. We hate this slavery stuff. You know, let's praise the Lord. Yes, Moses, we're with you. But then they got out in the wilderness. And then they came up to the land and they said, whoa, wait a minute. This looks a little difficult. There's giants in that land. There's walled cities. They have better armament than we have. They're militarily stronger. And what happened there? They had started out believing the message of Moses, believing what God wanted for them, but then all of a sudden their eyes got off of that and they started looking on the circumstances, started looking on the things and said, And their faith stopped. And they didn't get in. And that's exactly what we do so many times. We read the Bible, we hear preaching, we say, yes, God is, God's directed us in this way. God wants to do this with our church, my life, our family. And we believe that and we start out by faith. But then it's so easy. And listen, it is so difficult not to do this. We start looking at, yeah, but. And we look at the circumstances, we look at the difficulties, we look at the obstacles. And that's not faith. See, if we just said, well, like David looked at Goliath, everybody else looked at Goliath and said, he's too big to fight. And David looked at God and said, he's nothing. Right? We look at the giants, we look at the cost, humanly speaking, we look at all that and we say, yeah, well, that was nice to think about. It's a good plan, but I don't ever see how we could do that. And then we miss it. That's where we miss. Because it takes faith to follow through. It takes faith to see it. Some Christians never see it. Because their eyes are only on this world anyway. They've never lifted up their eyes upon the Lord. They never got in the Word of God and let God reveal some things. Let God just sort of, pull back the curtain a little bit and say, this is really what I'd like to give you if you'd step out in faith. This is what I'd do for your life, your marriage, your family. This is my will for your children. This is what I'd like to do in your church if you'd just step out. But some never even get a vision for that. They don't even get a glimpse of it. Because they weren't walking by faith. Let me show you just one example. I'm going to be done in just a moment. But look at verse 4. Because I was thinking about this. And I thought, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now that's not they offered a sacrifice. Is that a big thing? Is that a hard thing? Is that a huge thing? Well, God saw Abel's faith and he put him in the Bible. And God, what God did in Abel's life was big in the eyes of God. But all he did was offer a sacrifice. They both did it. Cain did it too. The difference is that Abel offered the right sacrifice. Cain didn't. Right? You know the story of Cain and Abel. And then I was thinking about that and I thought, well, how did Abel know what to offer? How did he know what sacrifice to give? And I know I've said it, preachers say it, that God must have told, this is Adam's sons, the firstborn children in the world, Cain and Abel. But God showed Adam, when he sinned, he slew a lamb, shed the blood, covered them with skins, and You know, Adam must have known, and he passed it on to his sons, and so on. And so we kind of get this idea that Cain and Abel, God said, you sacrifice this. Cain or Abel said, okay. And Cain said, no, I don't want to. And Cain just rebelled. But then I was thinking about it, and I thought, and I don't know all the circumstances, but do you really think that Cain was being rebellious, that he just said, God, I don't want to offer what you said? Do you think that's what it was? Why would he even bring an offering then? Or was it that it wasn't quite as spelled out as we think it was, but Abel recognized what God wanted, and Cain didn't? You ever think of that? Abel had some perception. He saw what God did. He could see what God wanted, and by faith, he offered it. All Cain saw is, you know, I have this fruit I've grown, this vegetables, I have these things my hands have gotten, and he brought that as an offering. And God said, no, that's not what I wanted. And Cain was like, what did I do wrong? What, you know? You didn't see what I wanted you to see. Abel saw it, you didn't. Because your eyes were only on stuff. You never got your eyes on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, as a believer in Christ, sometimes we have to walk by faith to perceive what God wants to do in our life by faith. Then we have to step out in faith and begin to go down that path. But then be careful, because when you get down that path, you're going to find obstacles. You're going to find hard things. You're going to see things that seem insurmountable. And excuse me, our tendency is to go, well, I thought this is where I was going to do, and God put it in my mind, but I just can't see how it can be done. The greatest example of that is like Peter, when he got out of the boat, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to walk on the water to you. And he said, come on. Peter said, great. Got out of the boat, and he starts walking. And his eyes were on Jesus. His faith was there, but all of a sudden the waves started coming, the wind was blowing, and he said, I'm walking on water. Wait a minute, this can't happen. And he began to sink. But do you see what we do? We hear a message sometimes, and our heart is stirred, and God does something, and we say, yes, I want to, you know, I go to the altar, I say, Lord, here am I, I'll do it, I'll step out, I'll be involved, I'll give to that, and then over a few days, our eyes get down here, and we say, well, maybe I should rethink that. And then our faith ends. Having faith does not mean there's no fear. Having faith doesn't mean that, somebody said, I remember a pastor saying this one time, he said, if I could just have 1% more faith than I have fear or doubt, I'll prevail. It's not about even, you know, we talk about great faith or quantities of faith. We just have to believe God more than we fear the things of this world. But the problem is our eyes are on this world more than they're on God. I'm going to stop because I think you got the idea. But I want to remind you, just as in closing, there are things that God wants us to have. He requires faith. That's the only way you'll get it. The first thing about that is salvation. Salvation, God wants to forgive your sins. God wants to save your soul. God desires, it's His will, it's His longing that you have an eternal home with Him in heaven. God wants that for you, every one of you. Aren't you glad for that? He sent His Son to die on the cross to secure that, to make that possible. But if you don't put faith in Christ, you'll never have it. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. But those who don't believe, who won't trust, who won't say, Lord, in other words, it's just like what we've been talking about. You can't get it any other way. You can't. You say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I'll be good. I'll go to church every Sunday. That won't get it for you. Lord, I want to have my sins forgiven. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to try to clean up my life. I'm going to get my act together. And God says, that's great, but that's not going to get it for you either. You have to put faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. If not, you miss that rest God has for you. And so if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior today, let me encourage you. It's like we read, he says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Open your heart up in faith and say, Lord, I believe you. I don't want to miss out. I want to have what you have for me. I'm going to ask you to stand.